Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is table. T-A-B-L-E.
Nice spelling, George.
You bet your life. It's Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood and brought to you with more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers. The dealers who bring you America's most talked about car, the distinguished 1953 DeSoto and the exciting Plymouth. See them both at your DeSoto Plymouth dealers. And now, here he is, the one, the only...
Now, where have I heard that name before? Oh, that's me! Well, here I am again with $1,000 for one of our couples. George, who was first?
Well, Groucho, we invited some Chinese girls to our program tonight, and just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected Mrs. Jenny Lee Wong. Her partner's grandfather, Mr. Jesse J. Gilbert. So, folks, would you please come in and meet Groucho Marx?
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and you'll divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Jesse Gilbert, huh? What's the Jesse J. Gilbert, huh?
That's
what does
right.
The J stand for, Jesse? Don't
James.
Tell me you're Jesse James, huh?
Jesse James Gilbert.
Jesse James, really? Why did your folks call you Jesse James? Did your old man take one look at you and holler we was robbed?
No, I adopted the name myself when I was 7 years of age.
You admired this crook, huh?
Exactly.
Has it done you any good being associated with Jesse James?
Well, it hasn't done me any harm.
Well, we came out even on that one, Jesse. Mr. G, would you mind telling us where you were born? Not only where, but when, while we're at it.
Well, I was born 71 years ago on the top floor of a 6-story tenement in New York City.
Is that so? You don't look it. You look like you were born in Philadelphia. Jenny Lee Wong. Miss Wong, whereabouts in China were you born?
I was born in Canton, Shaanxi, China. I came here when I was 3 years old.
You were born in Canton? I thought that was in Ohio.
No, there's a Canton in China, too.
Do you have a job, Jenny?
Yes, I do.
What do you do?
I work at Manjin Lo Restaurant, New Chinatown.
Would you say your restaurant is a real good Chinese restaurant?
I would say it's the best in the United States.
Now, Milton Berle told me a joke about a couple driving along the road. They're looking for a Chinese restaurant. And they finally come to one, and the girl says, there's a good Chinese restaurant, let's go in there. And the fellow driving says, how do you know it's a good Chinese restaurant? She says, well, all the Chinese truck drivers eat there. Well, that's what he told me. Now, suppose I came to your place for a genuine home-cooked Chinese dinner. What would you recommend?
Well, to start off with, I would serve you chestnut roll, baked, let's see, and then we have ginger chicken.
Oh, I knew her. She used to be in the movies. Dance with Fred Astaire.
Siu mai.
What's that?
Siu mai. It's a Chinese meatball shaped like a tulip.
A Chinese meatball shaped like a tulip?
That's right.
I know him very well. That's Charlie Chan. Well, Jesse, let's get back to you again. What do you do for a living?
I'm 50% retired.
Well, wake up and answer my question. Don't you do anything?
Yes, I'm interested in birds.
Well, don't give me any. Now, what kind of birds do you work with? Bald eagles? They say birds of a feather flock together, you know.
No, I teach parakeets how to talk.
You teach them how to talk? Well, what do you teach them, pigeon English? How do you go about teaching a bird to talk?
Well, first you make friends with them, which is a very short process.
How? How do you make friends with them?
Teach them to perch on your finger.
Uh-huh.
Then when they're unafraid and friendly, you start in with a very short phrase of single syllable words, such as, hello, baby.
Hello. Yeah, I did that pretty good, didn't I?
Hello, baby. And you
hello.
You keep on repeating that until the parakeet repeats it.
Mm-hmm. This is a silly question, but which is easier to teach to talk, the male or the female?
You can't teach a female parakeet how to talk.
Well, if there's anything in reincarnation, I'd like to come back as a parakeet. White brain and all. Hello, baby. Jesse, have you always been an elocution teacher for parakeets?
No, I was once a motion picture producer in Hollywood.
Now I know why he's teaching parakeets to talk. What happened, Jesse? Why didn't you stay in the movies?
Well, when sound came in, I hadn't any foresight. I didn't think there was much of a future to talking pictures. I didn't think they would last. So I quit making motion pictures and took my accumulated capital of almost $1 million and bought stock.
When was this?
Just before the crash in 1929.
What did the broker say to you? Hello, baby. Well, I hate to change the subject, but now it's time to play You Bet Your Life. Run your $20 no more than our other couples, and you'll get a chance at the big money later. Here we go. Let's see how high I can bid you $20. You selected vocabulary quiz as your category. I'll use a word in a sentence, and you tell me the meaning of the word. Here's your first question. How much will you bet?
Let's say 1 cent. But all right. All but 1 cent.
All but 1 cent. If you were ludicrous, what would you be?
Ridiculous.
Right.
You now I have $39.99.
All right. How much of this are you going to bet?
Let's save a penny.
All right.
$39.98. All right. If you were penurious, what would you be?
Savings. Stingy.
That's right.
You now have $79.97.
Here's your third question. How much of the $79.97?
All but a penny.
Okay. If you were indolent, what would you be?
Lazy.
Lazy is absolutely right.
You now have $159.93.
Hey, I think you've learned something from those parakeets.
Hello, baby.
Last chance to beat the other couples. How much will you bet?
All of it.
All of it, huh?
Right.
Have you consulted it with Miss
right?
Blom over here?
Quite all right. Yes.
All right. If you were taciturn, what would you be?
Quiet.
Silent,
reticent.
Reserved. That's good enough for me.
And you wind up with $319.86.
Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealer.
Thank you.
Now, before we continue, here's something I want you to hear about the beautiful DeSoto.
Friends, I'd like to tell you about a few of the most talked-about features in the distinguished DeSoto. First, there's DeSoto's tiptoe hydraulic shift that lets you drive without shifting. Just turn the key to start, step on the gas, and you go from low to high in one fluid sweep of power. And DeSoto's full-time power steering makes steering as easy as dialing a telephone. It works for you all of the time, not just some of the time. DeSoto full-time power steering literally takes all of the work out of driving and parking. Then there's DeSoto's mighty 160-horsepower Fire Dome V8 engine, the world's most efficient engine design. You can release a tremendous surge of power with just a touch of your toe. And best of all, this mighty DeSoto Fire Dome engine burns regular gas. There's no need for expensive premium gas. These DeSoto features are a few of many that have set a new standard in driving pleasure for millions of Americans. Put yourself behind the wheel of a DeSoto Fire Dome 8 or a brilliant PowerMaster 6. Remember, both great cars let you drive without shifting.
Make a date now to try the world's finest car by
the distinguished new DeSoto.
And remember, the dealers who sell the distinguished DeSoto also sell the beautiful Plymouth, first truly balanced car in the low price field.
George, who's next?
Well, Groucho, we asked for some people with interesting backgrounds tonight, and here they come, Mrs. Minnie Peterson and Mr. Otto Schmidt. Would you meet Groucho Marx?
Welcome, welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers. Hey, say the secret word and you'll divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mrs. Minnie Peterson and Mr. Otto Schmidt, eh? Mrs. Peterson, I'll start with you. What is your hometown?
Salisbury, Missouri.
Where?
Salisbury, Missouri.
I thought that was a hamburger.
No, it isn't. That's right on the Wabash Railroad.
Oh, you between... were born on the railroad?
No, just off the railroad.
Oh. I'm just trying to keep track of you, that's all. Mrs. Pete, I don't want to pry, but could you give us some approximate idea of your age? Our radio audience, you know, can't see you. They'd like to form some kind of a picture of our contestants.
I never tell that, but being as it's you, I'm knocking at the door of 70.
Well, how many times? How many times have you knocked, Petey?
I'm just getting ready.
What do you do for excitement, besides going around knocking on doors?
I have plenty of excitement. I'm a co-publisher of a baseball scorebook, and I have a baseball team.
You have a baseball team?
Yes, a baseball team.
Oh, what do you know about that? I'll just call you Casey, eh?
Yes, just call me Casey.
Well, who do you play for?
Well, I don't play.
You mean you quit already?
No, I have a manager that handles the team. My son, Jack, handles the team for me. It's the Peterson Scoremaster.
Oh.
And we play semi-pro ball in the different diamonds around in Los Angeles.
Or?
No, hardball. Oh, no, hardball.
Oh. You wouldn't condescend to softball.
No, not softball. Not these boys.
What do you do? You sit in the grandstand and
root
the team
home? Oh, I have to sit in the grandstand.
Uh-huh.
They won't let me down in the dugout. I have to sit in the grandstand.
But do you ever get into a discussion with the umpire? You know, what they call a rhubarb?
Oh, yes, just about every time we play.
What do you do? Jump out of the grandstand and get out?
Oh, no, I just... You know, like this, and
oh,
use my tongue.
Is that very effective?
Use my tongue. And...
Oh. Well, you must have a long tongue.
I have.
What is a long tongue? That's 2,200 pounds, isn't it?
Just about.
As opposed to a short tongue, which is 2,000. Mr. Otto Schmidt?
Yes.
That's you. Are you married?
Yeah.
Where did you meet your wife?
In Copenhagen, Denmark.
Oh, well, snub said. What were you doing in Denmark?
I was born there.
Oh. I thought you were left over from an old smorgasbord. Oh? Well, could you tell us the details of your first meeting?
Well, I met my wife in a church, you know. She was singing in the choir, and I liked the look of her, and I want to meet her. So one evening I met her in the street, and she was down from to buy some cake with a baker, and we talked together about 7 hours.
In the street?
Yes.
You're lucky you weren't pinched for loitering. What did you talk about for 7 hours? The expression on your face is far more eloquent than words, Mr. Schmidt. It's not very practical for radio. Well, time's up for small talk. Now, let's get down to serious business. Right now, you're going to play your bet your life. All you have to do is run your $20 into more than our other couples. And you get a chance at the big money.
The first couple leads with $319.86. And the secret word is table.
Let's see how high I can bid you $20. You selected capital cities of European countries as your category. Now, here's your first question. How much will you bet?
The whole thing.
All of it?
Me.
What is the capital city of Spain?
Madrid.
Madrid is correct.
Off to a good start, you have $40.
How much of the $40?
All of it.
All right. What is the capital city of Austria? Capital city of Austria. Take a guess.
I've forgotten.
One of the most famous cities in the world,
yes.
Vienna.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, they've lost all their money, Groucho.
Well, there's no use continuing this quiz, then. I'll give you one question. If you get this right, you'll split $25. What kind of seafood do we get from an oyster bed?
Oysters, I guess.
Oysters are correct, huh? Sorry, I didn't win more. Thanks. Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers.
Well, Groucho, we asked if there were any men present tonight with unusual...
Men?
Men, yes.
How dreary.
Men, especially with unusual occupations. And Dr. Hereward Carrington was chosen to be on the show. And his partner is a junior high school girl, Miss Anna Glom. So, folks, would you please come in and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, youngsters, for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mr. Hereward Carrington and Miss Anna Glom. Anna, how old are you?
12 years old.
That's a wonderful age. I had the best time of my life when I was 12. I was too old to spank and too young for the electric chair. Dr. Hereward Carrington, that's an odd name, Hereward. Where did you get it?
Well, it's a historic English character immortalized by Charles Kingsley in a book, Hereward the Wake.
Uh-huh. What kind of a doctor are you?
PhD.
PhD, yeah? Well, as a PhD, what sort of work do you do, Doc?
Well, I'm the director of the American Psychical Institute.
The American Bicycle Institute?
Not bicycle, psychical. Although I realize that many people think we psychic investigators have wheels, but that's not necessarily the case.
Well, it certainly put me in my place. Which is right on top of a bicycle. Well, tell us some more about the Psychical Institute.
Well, our work is to investigate various types of psychic phenomena, curious human experiences, such as telepathy, clairvoyance, premonitions, telekinesis, cryptesthesia, poltergeists, and so forth.
Uh-huh. Well, it isn't often a man mentions six words without me understanding one of them. You didn't bring an interpreter with you, did you, Doc?
Well, the one on my right. Well,
I gather that you're interested in ghosts. Is that right, Doctor?
Yes. Ghosts and apparitions and kindred manifestations.
Here we go again. Huh? Well, do you believe in ghosts?
Yes, though I say that 98% of the phenomena we're called on to investigate turn out to be fraudulent. But now and then we run into something that is interesting.
You and me both, Doc. Tell us about some of your experiences. What is the most unusual adventure you've had in your work?
Well, the most outstanding, striking I had was in connection with an Italian medium named Eusapia Palladino. I had about 10 sittings in Naples and about 40 in New York. She would come into a room or a laboratory in a university, take her seat in front of a table, both hands...
Wait a minute. You said the secret word table, so you get
$50? Oh, thank you.
And the little woman over here gets $50. Well, now, would you mind proceeding with this...
When she entered the room, she would take her seat at the table, both hands, feet, and knees securely held.
By who?
By two skeptical investigators. Mm-hmm. The seance would begin in bright white light. The table would begin to tilt, move, and oscillate, and finally go bang up in the air, what we call a complete levitation. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen hundreds of those seated with...
She remained there?
She remained there, mm-hmm. Visible, held.
What was responsible for this levitation?
Well, we psychic investigators don't believe that when an object moves in that way, that there's a spirit running around the room like a chicken. We think it's due to some mechanism, and that mechanism is an energy which is evolved or extruded from the medium's body, moving material objects in its environment.
This was a medium, huh?
Yes, yes.
Did you ever strike a happy medium in all the times that you were investigating these cases?
Well, that's perhaps older than some of my ghosts.
You realize there's a quiz coming later in which you might win some money. Now, Anna, have you been listening to all this talk about ghosts?
Yes.
Does it scare you any?
A little. I sure wouldn't like to spend the night with a ghost in a haunted house.
Do you have any hobbies like boys with ectoplasm growing out of their hair?
Well, I am a member of the junior high players in Pacific Palisades. It's called the Pied Pipers.
Oh. Well, where did you learn acting? Are you going to a drama school or are you just in this...
No, we learn by observing.
Uh-huh. Well, you won't learn anything here tonight. Not unless you keep your eye on him, huh? What are some of the things you've learned about acting?
Well, we learned to make our own sets and stage projection and everything that you learn in putting on a play.
What do you mean by stage projection?
Well, speaking...
Are you projecting now?
I don't know.
Does anything exciting ever happen in an amateur theatrical?
Well, once we had made our own sets, and it was my very first stage play. It was called The Silver Thread. I was playing a princess. And,
well, I bet you make a pretty cute princess.
And these goblins were coming to capture me, and this hero was supposed to come in and fight them off and everything and save me. And he just didn't show up, and I was looking around for him, and I looked around and... I looked at the window, and he had been stuck half in and half out with his trusty axe in one hand, and the thing had slipped down on top of him.
It's a fine position for a hero, huh? Stuck in a window pane, huh? Well, did they ever extricate him from this predicament?
Come again?
Anna, now you know how I felt when he was talking to me. Did they ever loosen this character from this window pane?
Oh, yes, we managed to do that. Uh-huh. They did it from the outside. They.
I see.
They
it was an outside job, huh? Well, I hate to change the subject, but now you're going to play You Bet Your Life for a chance at the big question. I can't tell you how much you have to win, but the idea is to run you $20 and the more than our other couples. And you'll get no help from the spirits, you know.
All right. The first couple still leads with $319.86.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can bid you $20. You selected characters from Alice in Wonderland, and Through the Looking Glass is your category. This should be duck soup for you over there. How much are you going to bet on your first question?
You.
Talk up your partners, you know.
18?
Huh?
19?
19.
All right. 19. Alice got into Wonderland by following an animal underground. What was the animal that Alice followed?
The rabbit.
The marching
rabbit.
The rabbit. That's right, a white rabbit.
Huh? You now have $39.
Don't ponder around like that. You gave me a heart failure. Here's the second question. How much is the 39 you're going to bet?
38.
35? 38. 38. After going through the looking glass, Alice met a pair of fat twin brothers who planned to have a fight. What were they called?
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
That's right.
Now I have $77.
This is like that prince in that play. I have to pull her through the window on each one. Here's your third question. How much of the 77 are you going to go for?
76.
Talk up, kids.
76.
76.
All right. At the tea party with the Mad Hatter, a little animal kept falling asleep. What was this animal?
The mouse.
The dormouse is correct.
You now have $153.
And here's your last chance to be the other couples. How much of the 153 are you going to go for?
152. All right.
152.
152. What animal said that? The time has come to talk of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
The walrus.
The walrus is correct.
And you wind up with $305.
Gee.
Thanks and good luck from the Soda Plymouth Dealers.
And that means that Mrs. Wong and Mr. Gilbert, with $319.86 in just 1 minute, get the chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question.
Fannerman, why don't you tell our audience what's so special about the Groucho Special used cars?
Well, that's easy, Groucho. They're the finest used car values in town. You see, because the new DeSoto is so popular, your DeSoto Plymouth dealer is getting the cream of the crop in fine used cars. All great values, but just a few of the very best are being selected as Groucho Specials. These are the really exceptional used car values your DeSoto Plymouth dealer picks as the best buys in town.
My DeSoto Plymouth dealer picks them? You mean he goes all over the country picking out Groucho Specials? Doesn't that keep him pretty busy?
Nah, you know better than that, Groucho. Each DeSoto Plymouth dealer picks out his own Groucho Specials.
Oh. Well, tell him about the beautiful picture on the windshield of the Groucho Specials, Fenneman.
Sure, Groucho. Folks, that's the Groucho Special sticker with Groucho's picture. The Groucho Special sticker is your dealer's way of pointing out the very best used car buys he has. Now you no longer need take a chance when you buy a used car. Just look for the Groucho Special sticker. What's more, your neighborhood DeSoto Plymouth dealer can arrange convenient budget payments for you.
Friends, visit your neighborhood DeSoto Plymouth dealer and look for the Groucho Specials. And when you drive in, tell them Groucho sent you.
And here's the winning couple, Groucho. Mrs. Wong and Mr. Gilbert all set for the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question.
Of course, you realize, Mrs. Wong, that if you win this money, I expect a free meal at the Chinese restaurant.
Certainly will.
For about 200 people. All right, here we go for $1,000. Give you 15 seconds to decide on the single answer between you. Think carefully and please no help from the audience. Here it is. One of the most important of all drugs is obtained from the bark of the cinchona. C-I-N-C-H-O-N-A. Tree. The cinchona tree. During World War II, 90% of the world's supply was cut off from the Allies. For $1,000, what is this drug from the bark of the cinchona tree called? What is the answer you two have decided upon?
Quinine.
Quinine is absolutely right. And a free meal at the Chinese restaurant. That's right. You win $1,000. And how much in the quiz, George?
$319.86
in
the quiz.
Congratulations from the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast. You bet your life.
Thank you. Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at the same time for the Groucho Marx Show, when the big question will be worth $1,000. And don't miss Groucho's television show, also presented by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. And remember that the dealers who sell the distinguished 1953 DeSoto also sell the brilliant Plymouth, the first truly balanced car in the low-priced field. DeSoto, Plymouth, two great cars. Both products of the Chrysler Corporation.
And when you drive in, tell them Groucho sent you. Good night, folks, and remember, just be sure to see the distinguished new DeSoto.
Folks, here's a reminder from the National Safety Council. Twilight doubles traffic troubles, so double your caution. You Bet Your Life, transcribed from Hollywood, is produced by John Goodell, directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jerry Fielding. This is George Fenneman signing off for the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast. You Bet Your Life is heard by our armed forces throughout the world.